blonde woman?
Not so you'd notice it.
The red-faced little prick doing her?
I wouldn't know. Haven't been riding with him that long.
How about the kid with the big rad scar? He got a name?
He calls himself Knuckles. Shut up, brothers. Wizard doesn't like noise when he's viewing the vids. Can I go in?
Leave the blaster behind. Real pretty automatic, that.
I don't give up my blaster to anyone.
Then you can't go in.
Fine. You tell the Baron I called, but you wouldn't let me go see him.
An M16 was jabbed hard into the small of Ryan's back.
Just give up that blaster, you fuckhead outlander!
If you're gonna pull the trigger, then do it, you muty asshole. If you don't do it right now, then I'm gonna take it away from you and ram it so far down your throat you'll be shitting Full Metal Jackets for a week.
Yet again, Ryan was aware of a blinding surge of anger. But the awareness did nothing to prevent it, and a small part of him found this worrying. But the larger part of him was relishing the confrontation and the risk, the feeling that he was actually doing something active, rather than just dancing to Baron Nelson's tune.
Leave him be.
Ryan turned and pushed the muzzle of the gun away from him, staring with bleak rage into the man's eyes.
If you weren't going to meet Baron Seidler, I'd see to you.
I'll be out soon enough, Harv. Then I'll still be happy to talk to you some.
Go on in, before there's blood all over the snow.
Ryan walked toward the doors, and it seemed as though he were instantly forgotten by the guards. There were two braziers in the foyer of the old cinema, some of their smoke vanishing up into a pair of steel chimneys. But not all of it. A thick haze, pinion-scented, hung across the shadowy gloom. Apart from a skinny black dog lying by the nearest fire, the large room was completely empty. As Ryan stepped slowly across the threadbare carpet, the animal stirred. Its legs kicked for a moment, as though it were dreaming of chasing rabbits in warmer days. Several tunnels opened off the room. For some reason, this kind of multi-screen movie house seemed to have survived in Deathlands better than buildings like schools or churches. Ryan had seen several that had been almost perfectly preserved. The Russians had used neutron missiles on the region, which slaughtered every living creature and left buildings unharmed. So this cinema building didn't present any mystery to him. He could hear sounds from one of the rooms, two along the branched passage, and flickering light seeped out from behind a set of heavy velvet draperies that partly closed off the entrance. Ryan allowed his hand to drop to the butt of the Sig Sauer, glancing behind him to make sure nobody was creeping up in the cold darkness to try to take him out. The curtain smelled strongly of tobacco. It felt dry under his fingers, and he had the feeling that if he tugged at it, the material would open up like a banker's smile. Ryan eased his way into what he recognized as the main auditorium of the cinema. There were rows of seats, some broken, some holding slumped figures. A swath of brightness sliced through, coming from a darkened box toward the back of the slope-floored room. At the front was a rectangular screen, carrying the pictures of the old vid. It showed a strange glass-sided wag drawn by a couple of horses, moving up a steep hill, lined by frame houses. Two men rode the front of the rig, one in black. The other had a strange lopsided grin, and was hefting a scattergun.
Anyone want to bet some jack on them making it all the way to the graveyard and back again?
You've seen it 1,000 times, Wizard.
Sure I have. But I figured at some time it's going to have a different ending. You know what I mean, Julio? Huh?
Ryan paused, trying to accustom his vision to the gloom. Julio had been one of the names that Rick Coburn had mentioned back in Vista. One of the killers of the Baron's son. Something brushed against Ryan's leg, making him start. But it was only a mongrel, padding past him and heading toward the center of the front row. Ryan recognized the vid as being something that he knew was called a Western, though he'd never taken too much pleasure in watching moving films. Not that there were all that many left in Deathlands. Never mind the equipment to show them. He leaned on the back partition and gazed at the scratched, jerky images. The image suddenly vanished, and the place went totally dark.
Oh, cut that fucking bastard! Letting it break down! Put the lights on!
The place was filled with a watery yellowish glow from fittings around the walls. Heads turned immediately toward the stranger standing in the rear.
And just who the fuck are you, mister? Coming in here to spoil our pleasure. Quick!
The name's Ryan Carter.
During the movie, Baron Wizard Seidler had whispered the dialogue of the whole vid, the whole way through, laughing at every joke, weeping copiously when the tall, skinny one with the knife got gunned down, and when the half-breed with the slit eyes saved the lives of the little Mex boys and finished up getting himself killed. Ryan had been ordered to sit close to the Baron, while one of his men struggled desperately to repair the antique machinery and get the film running again.
You like vids, Outlander?
I can't say that I've seen that many of them, Baron.
A man sat in the bucket seat next to Wizard Seidler, and Ryan's first impression was of the man's body odor. It wasn't the usual staleness of old sweat. It was a strange, brittle scent, like dry, rotting wood. The Baron of Yuma was dressed like one of the characters in the vid that was showing. He'd even shaved his head to look like the one called Chris. The black shirt was too tight for him, and had barely stretched over his belly. Seidler had a pair of matched navy Colts, worn in open holsters on each hip, tied low on the thigh. He looked to be about 30 years old. Ryan had rarely met a Baron in all of Deathlands who showed such friendliness and good nature. But he mistrusted Seidler, not just because of what he knew about the man. Anyone who came on in such a warm and welcoming manner had to be a swift and evil bastard. He already knew who Ryan was, and all about the Traveling Theater Company. He even offered them the cinema for their show.
Well, when will it be? Tonight?
Tomorrow, Baron.
Ah, it will be interesting to see what a living vid is like.
Ready to roll, Baron.
In a moment. Where did you come from, Carter? South?
More the east.
You haven't put your play on in the Villa Vista, have you?
No. I've heard the name. Should we go there after we leave Yuma?
Baron Wizard Seidler slapped Ryan on the thigh, his hand lingering there for a heartbeat longer than necessary.
Vista is a place of poverty and cracked skin, cold hearths and thin gruel, stony bread and green bacon, dry women and murderous men.
And dead children, Wizard.
The voice, strangely familiar, was from off to the left, where Ryan, his eye now adjusted to the gloom, had already spotted a group of five people sitting close together. It wasn't possible to be absolutely sure, but it looked to be four men and a single woman.
Enough of that sort of talk, Jim. Zeeb deserved his passing.
There was a long stillness in the dusty auditorium, eventually broken by the Baron, his good humor restored, calling out for the vid to recommence. After it was over, a slatternly woman with a hideous canker eroding one corner of her mouth brought in several tankards of good strong ale, offering them first to the Baron. He took one, gesturing to Ryan to help himself.
Come, get something to drink. It's a long day's watching.
Several of the people there were sentries, recognizable by the silver lightning flashes. But there was also the five that Ryan had noticed, sitting in a tight group together. The Baron introduced them to Ryan as fellow Outlanders.
We'll be passing on through one day.
One day.
Jim Jennison. Ryan figured him at around 5'8", lean and pale-faced. He squinted a little as though his sight were weak. All five wore better clothes than most inhabitants of Yumaville, much more like the way that Ryan and his group were dressed, including combat boots. Jennison carried a double-action Heckler & Koch P9S, 9-round, 9mm. Ryan noticed that the five had quality blasters, all of them in good condition. Again, a marked contrast to the filthy guns that most of the Baron's ragtag men trailed around with them.
Ah!
Ossie Grant was taller, with greased-back hair and odd-colored eyes, one blue and one a bright emerald green. He had a bandolier with four throwing knives sheathed in it, slung across his chest, and a Model 58 Smith & Wesson Magnum on his right hip. It had a blued finish, and it was in a decorative border rig.
This is Julio. I don't know your other name, Julio. Never did. What is it?
Just Julio does real fine.
With a name like that, Ryan would have expected him to show some signs of Mex ancestry. But he was a well-built blonde with dazzling blue eyes. He had on a flashy shirt in pale blue silk, with dark blue piping around the throat. His blaster was an unusual Texas Longhorn Border Special, a single-action stubby little revolver that held six rounds of what looked like centerfire 38s. He also carried an unidentifiable sawed-off scattergun slung across his shoulders. The fourth man had a muty look to him. His eyes were partly hidden behind a peculiar veil of skin, like the wings of bees, and his long fingers were webbed. As he grinned at Ryan, he revealed a triple row of needle teeth, with serrated edges to them. His hair was stringy, with no discernible color to it. It could have been white, or gray, or brown. Baron Wizard Seidler clapped the man on the shoulder.
This is 20 Gooseneck.